or to command, as it were, Timothy in a work that he was going to do. And we need to understand how this works out. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1. In this particular text, we see Paul saying these words most solemnly. Okay, verse 18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy. Now, if you were to take a look at the ministry that the Apostle Paul had in the earlier years, you begin to realize that what he did in the earlier years of his life was to establish a ministry. And I think we all understand that. We just completed 40 years of ministry. So we can say that we have established a work. And this is important for us to consider. We have established something very, very significant. Right? Those establishing of a work takes years. As we look at how we celebrate over in Perth, from a small group of 20-something people to a church that had grown to over 500 people in attendance for the special worship program, and you begin to realize that work has developed significantly. But it is still in the process of being established. Okay? Now we say this because they still don't have other pastors coming up to take on this role of looking after the church. So it is still being established. Similarly, in India, next week when we minister there, we are looking at how we began 25 years ago with just 20 people. And we are anticipating that perhaps close to 1,000 people would be there with established churches. But it is still in the process of being established because they still haven't been able to bring up a second generation of servants of God. It takes a long time to establish anything that is good and solid. But then here is another aspect that we must now consider this morning, and that is after celebrating, after serving, after establishing for 40 years, what's the next step? And we obviously would say this is something that we must commit to the next generation. Young people, you have just proven for yourself that it can be done. You can contribute significantly to the church, even as big a matter as planning a church anniversary. And you did it magnificently. And we rejoice in this. But this is a small part of the charge given to you. We have, and we must understand this, that different churches, the different needs, and the different things that we must do. Myanmar is still establishing. Still establishing because I still have to go there and deal with a lot of false teachings. Every day I have a whole list. Can you please help us to answer these questions? How do we answer this situation? And when there are many, many, many questions still left to be answered, that it is still being established. But Bethany has gone beyond that stage. We must now look at the next challenge. So looking at 40 plus 2 years, what do we need to have? We want to see another generation established. And this is important for us. Important for us to understand how this works out. And it's something that lies heavy, really heavy on my heart. There's a part that says, I rejoice. There is a part that says, there is yet work that must be done. What is that work? And that work must be done carefully. It is not easy for young people to learn because it's taking on responsibilities, it's learning to be stretched, it is learning to work hard, it means giving of yourself in a way that is very, very, very challenging indeed. You know, you're just glad that people are willing to do this at all. But it must be done. And so Paul tells Timothy, I commit to you, son Timothy. I like the tender way in which this is done. You can give a charge to a person and say, do it. And that's all there is to it. But you can also say, do it, son. It makes a lot of difference. Well, how so? Very much depends upon the father and son relationship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you're going to see this very, very clearly. Now, I must say that Paul had a tremendous spirit of being a father in his heart. God had given to him a heart of a father. This is the idea of the name of Christ, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. Not that he is the same as the father, he is to be distinguished, and yet that heart of being a father was there in Christ. That's why he called people he healed daughter and son. And here we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes, and he said to the people, verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Paul is very, very open in his relationship to the people that he cared for. And he said he calls them beloved children. He went on further to say about what it was like for the people. And he said in verse 15, you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you do not have many fathers. Meaning, I am your spiritual father. No question about this. So this is what he meant when he said that. And then he went on verse 17. He said, for this reason I sent Timothy to you. And he is my beloved, and he is my faithful son in the Lord. So the strong paternalistic instinct in Paul was very, very, very real. And it is an important relationship. So on the one hand, there is a solemnity of it all. On the other hand, there is a sweetness between a father and a son. I think it makes a lot of difference whether we serve as merely servants or whether we serve as sons. When we serve as sons, we serve differently. Our spirit is different. But of course, that's how it should be. I think this is something that is important and we want to appreciate this. How do we see the ministry that is going to be passed on to the next generation? I think we should see this very, very seriously, but not to be afraid of it, to see it as a son. And I say this, I don't think that I say this alone for myself, for those who are in institutions, for those of you who are older doctors trying to teach the younger ones, your commitment is to pass that knowledge, the commitment to serve, to teach to younger doctors. Or teachers to the next generation of teachers. It is the same with pastors to the next generation of young people. On the one hand, there is solemnity, so it's not just fun. But on the other hand, there is that sonship aspect that says, it's okay, I can do this. I am son. Does it make a difference? The answer, yes. How can we make the difference? We must always minister in hope. And afterwards, Crossroads is going to sing for a while. And the message is one of hope. Can we succeed? Instead of fear, let there be hope. Hope in what? Take a look at this. Paul says to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, you can succeed. You can do this. Okay? And this is how you can be sure of this. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you. Maybe we don't have prophecies today, but when there are people who come to us and they tell you, young people, you know, we see so much good in you. Be encouraged. Be uplifted. And when they see, they say, there's so much talent inside you. There is so much energy. There is so much good inside you. Be lifted up. Because it's true. It can be done. And this is what Paul was telling Timothy. Timothy, don't forget to recall that there were many good things said about you. Be lifted up. Be encouraged. Succeed. Succeed in this ministry that you have been called to do. What else must we have? So Paul tells Timothy, by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. This is what we're going to try to do at the next few months. One, we want to look at young people at the end of the year youth conference. This is such a major, major piece of work to do. We want our young people to say, I know whom I have believed. Without doubt, with great certainty, I know. I know whom I have believed in. I am persuaded about this. So many people have a very vague idea as to what they believe in. What do you believe in? So one lady was asked, what do you believe in? I believe what my church believes in. That sounds good. What does your church believe in? What I believe in. That's about as vague as you can get. No, we don't want to do this. We want to tell our young people, this is the God we believe in. This is His God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 100 things we may believe about God. This is our faith in this God. This is what we believe about this faith in God. About the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And every point of it all, having faith. And a good conscience that goes with it. And a good conscience that goes with it is that you not only have faith, but you live out your faith. You don't just say it, you do it. And with that, Paul says, you can wage the good warfare. Sometimes we look at life and we look at, things that have gone wrong. Verse 19. Some have rejected this approach. Some concerning the faith, they have made shipwreck. It's so, so real a problem. You can succeed or you can fail in life. We have survived 40 years, challenges, difficulties. But you know, we have not failed. What we have done today is to leave a tremendous legacy for the younger generation to consider. And we learn, and they must learn. Look at the mistakes that are made. Have people failed? And we learn. We don't want to fail. Are there people who have succeeded? And we say, yes, we want to succeed. And this is vital for us to consider. And if we can do this, it will help us a great, great deal. You know, as we enter into a 40 plus 2 years, I want to tell you that our theme for this new year is from the Greek text, hensoma, one body. We're going to try to move the young adults who will be driving this next year's program anniversary, but they cannot do it alone. They're going to work with the pines. So we're going to combine male two groups into one, all the more signifying the idea of one body. So that the 40 plus 2 years need not be a weak year. It can be an even stronger year where we forge that oneness. And we want to forge that oneness in every way possible. Last Bible study, last fellowship group of the last Saturday of the month. We're going to meld together young people, young adults, AM people. Then shortly after that, to gear towards the YAG retreats. It's now the 20th retreat that we are planning. And we are going to try and hit more than 200. Ending with a time of great worship. For 20 years, we have learned so many deep truths. We want it to be one where we will climax the 20th retreat with a special time of thanksgiving. But constantly bearing in mind, this is the work of the Spirit of God, uniting our hearts, our minds, and our spirits so that we can do this effectively. We have just celebrated 40 plus 1. We are planning for 40 plus 2 already. Yes. 40 plus 2 was already conceived way before. We're just announcing it. But this time we're going to gear towards it very consciously. So much to thank God for. Then comes our Christmas caroling. The day after our youth conference. How many people are we going to have? Nothing less than 500. It'll be whole church, just about everybody, but downstairs, perhaps. And we're just going to have a time of just wonderful fellowship over dinner. And then after that would be our Christmas concert. What are we trying to do? To have this sense of oneness, a sense of oneness between father and sons and daughters. A sense of oneness where groups feel that they are one. It just so happened that we're divided by age groups. But we are nevertheless just one hensoma, one body. And together, we wage a far greater warfare. This is our challenge for the 40 plus 2 year ahead of us. Will there be other ministries? Absolutely. Have you got a voice to sing for the Lord? And I mean it. It's not just a voice. But this voice is not a dedicated voice to the Lord. It's just another voice. It speaks about faith and a good conscience and a voice dedicated. And that's what we're going to have this morning to help us prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. And I'm just going to later on share things over at the Lord's Supper, things which are very, very deeply personal as the second part of this word that I want to bring to you. Okay? So we're going to have the Crossroads come and sing for us this morning. And that message will be one of hope. Hope of in the future, hope that is to be found in the Lord. Crossroads, over to you. We ask our Father that you would bless as we enter into the 40 plus 2 years of ministry, that you make us as one body in Christ Jesus. And may his grace, the grace of our precious Savior and Lord, enable us to find that oneness of heart and mind in ministry, in worship, in faith. May the Spirit of God grant to us his power that we will see this new year, this 42nd year, as an even greater year of growth and strength and power from on high, to the glory of the Lord Jesus, now and forever. Amen.